Well, this is, as we come to this great day here, the culmination of our faith, right here, this day. This month we have been tying the celebration of Easter with an emphasis upon missions. We've had missionary Don White with us. We've had missionary Andrew Austin and his wife Sherry with us. Last week we had our Faith Promise Sunday, and today we culminate it with today, the resurrection. We've been talking about how Jesus was on a mission. You know, he told his disciples, he said, you know, hey, I have to go to Jerusalem, and you know, when I get to Jerusalem, I'm going to be arrested and I'm going to be killed. And what we've been doing is we've been kind of taking it from that point and then just following along how Jesus was on a mission to get to Jerusalem, and his mission was to ultimately come to the cross. Because why? Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we've been talking about his vision of the mission, the clarity of vision, the broadness of his vision. We've talked about the clarity. We've talked about the completion last week as he finally got there and came into Jerusalem through the triumphal entry. And this week we're going to talk about the fulfillment of that mission. Okay, so if you had your Bible here this morning, if you turn me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, and I'm going to read starting with verse 36. And while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds as they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Would you find it terrifying to see somebody from the dead? Honestly, would you? Would you find it terrifying to see somebody that you saw die, that you saw buried, to all of a sudden be standing there right before you within reach? That is what the disciples felt the very first time that they saw Jesus. They knew he was dead. They saw him crucified. They saw him buried. This was already a traumatic time for them. They'd already had to watch Jesus suffer and die. They had to wonder, man, have I just wasted the last 3.5 years of my life? I thought Jesus was Messiah, and now he's dead and he's buried. Now they're hiding, afraid that they too might be arrested and executed. This is a very traumatic time. And now, in the midst of this trauma, now this dead person whom they thought was dead is standing right before them. And they were terrified. They were terrified, even though they had heard that Jesus indeed was alive. On that Sunday morning, on that resurrection morning, it says that the women went to the tomb in order to finish preparing the body of Jesus for burial. And when they got there, what did they find? The stone was rolled away. And they go running back after talking with the angel and to Christ. They go running back to the disciples and saying, "Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty." And you know what? The disciples don't believe them. There's the two men who are walking down the road. talking about the events of Good Friday, and all of a sudden a third man appears along with them and begins talking to them about what happened on Good Friday. Where have you been that you don't know what's happened in this last weekend? And as they begin to talk, it was Jesus who was with them, and Jesus revealed himself and opened their minds to see that it was him. And then he opened their mind to the scriptures that what the things that had happened had to transpire. And they go running back to the disciples and say, Jesus is alive! And you know what? And the disciples don't believe them. And now suddenly, Jesus is appearing in the midst of them. It would have been one thing if Jesus would have knocked and come through the door, right? It would have been one thing. But that's not what Jesus did. It's just all of a sudden they're all sitting there together in a room, all close together around the table, doing whatever. I don't know, playing Yahtzee. I don't know. And they're just sitting there playing. And all of a sudden, right there, no knock, no opening the door. All of a sudden, boom, Jesus, whom they saw die and buried, is standing right there. And they were sore afraid. And so Jesus says, peace. But they're still afraid. And so Jesus begins to talk them through their emotions. Okay? The first thing he does is he reminds them, hey, don't you remember that all that has happened, I told you was going to happen? Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 22. He told him. He said in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, he says, and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed on the third day, be raised to life. Jesus had told them on multiple occasions that this very things were going to happen, that he was going to be arrested, that he was going to die, and he was going to be risen again. He had told them on multiple occasions, but yet when it all happened, the disciples didn't believe it. And so he begins to go back. He said, remember, don't you remember I told you? And they're still sore afraid. And so he goes on helping them process it. They didn't believe it when Jesus told them. He didn't believe it when the women told him. He didn't believe it. They didn't believe it when the two men told him. And so Jesus now says, well, look at my hands. Look at my feet. See with your eyes. See. Look. See with your eyes. Touch me. Feel me. See me. See, I have a body. I'm not a ghost. This isn't some spiritual resurrection. I am literally here in the flesh and the blood before you today. I am physically risen. I have a body before you that you can touch and feel and see. I'm not a ghost. He then says, I'm hungry. You have anything to eat? And the apostle Steve DeMoss says, here's some fish. And Jesus took the fish and he ate it. And you know what? And when he swallowed it, they couldn't see it go down his throat because he was translucent, because he was some spirit. They saw him physically eat. And he says, I am here physically, not spiritually. I am here physically. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if Jesus did not physically raise from the dead, then we are here in vain. So this point that Jesus is hammering to them is very significant and very important. And yet they still didn't believe. And so Jesus goes through the final process. He says, you know what? I have come to fulfill all of which the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms have said about me. And he then begins to open their mind to what the scripture says about the suffering of the Messiah. Maybe he shared, there's lots of verses he could have shared, but maybe he shared out of Psalm chapter 22, verse 1, where it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Verse 14 of the same chapter says, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a posthern and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. And you lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and they cast lots for my clothing. Or maybe Psalm chapter 16, verse 10, where he says, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. Jesus begins to reveal for them all the scriptures about his suffering upon the cross of Calvary and what must happen for him to be the Lamb that comes to take away the sins of the world. He begins to reveal that and open their minds to the things that they've always known but have never understood. Have you ever had one of those moments where you hear something, but you don't understand it, and then all of a sudden you see the light bulb click on and you finally understand it? I've had a few moments in my life where I've had that light bulb very distinct. I watched that my son once, you know, far as in algebra, just doing algebra. We'd been working on algebra, and was trying to explain it to him, and I'm not good at algebra anyway, but all of a sudden he comes home and goes, Dad, all of a sudden I was there, and all of a sudden it just clicked, and he understands. He's been great at math ever since. But it was just that light bulb going on. You'd heard something. And this is exactly what happened. They had heard, read all these things all this time before. They heard it, knew it, but they didn't understand it. And now all of a sudden, as Jesus is standing there, the one whom they saw die, the one that they saw buried, the one that they could now see and touch and feel and hear and watch eat, he now opens it up and all of a sudden, the light bulb comes on. And they're filled with joy and amazement. And Jesus claims that all these scriptures are centered around him. Paul quotes these scriptures in the book of Acts as far as proof of the resurrection, and that Jesus is alive, and that Jesus had to suffer and die. So Jesus is alive. Is Jesus alive? Amen. You know what? Because Jesus is alive, he says, you know what? Because I'm alive, because I'm standing here before you, this is what he says. Because I'm alive, because I'm standing here before you, because now you can see me, touch me, feel me, hear me, because of these things, because I'm alive, the good news of repentance and forgiveness of sin must be preached all the world, starting in Jerusalem. What was the mission of Jesus? To seek and to save that which was lost. And do you not understand here that in this very moment, when Jesus reveals for him the fulfillment of his mission, he says what? Now the good news of repentance and forgiveness must be what? Preached to the whole world, beginning in Jerusalem. Now you go, disciples, into Jerusalem, and you wait until you receive power upon high. And do you see what is happening here? The result of the resurrection is the transference of the mission of Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost, is the transference of that mission to the disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he now then begins to transfer the mission from himself, because his mission is complete, his mission is fulfilled. He has paid the penalty of all of our sin. Is that not good news? And he says, now, because Jesus is alive, because now that you see me, now that I'm alive, then you go tell everybody that I'm alive, what I've done upon your life, and you tell the good news of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Amen. And so he transfers that mission upon us this morning. We have with us this morning a friend of ours, a friend of Bethel's, he and his wife have heard that call to go and to be our missionary to the nation of Colombia. Their picture's out there on our wall. We support them on a monthly basis. This is their first time to be there with us. I knew them from our previous pastorate. We'd supported them in the previous pastorate. I'd known them for several years, and so I just brought them along with me, all right? And so we've been supporting them, but this is your first time to meet them. They have heard the call. They have seen that Jesus is alive. And because of that, they are going. And I want to introduce to you our missionaries, Paul and Christy Robinson. They're going to come up for a few minutes and share us their ministry, and then we're going to wrap all things together here and just celebrate together our risen Lord. So can we give a warm welcome to the Robinsons this morning?
Wow, there's a what a beautiful spirit here this morning, huh? Amen. What a beautiful day. Jesus is risen, and it's exciting. It's exciting to be a child of God, is it not? Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I'll tell you what. I know our time is limited. Oh, thanks, Pastor. Our time is limited, of course. But as I told the pastor, it's like we'll be careful we don't take our liberties, but we'll just, if we go beyond time, we'll just blame the Holy Spirit, right? He's good for it. The Holy Spirit is so good for it. Well, praise the Lord. Well, let me introduce very quickly my wife, and I'll have her stand up. This is my wife, Christy. Yeah. It's always good to have my backup. Well, let me continue this story. The story continues, does it not? Yes. Amen. The story continues. And so I want to share what the Lord is doing through this ministry that he has given us as missionaries. And so very quickly, just some background. I was a policeman, and my wife was a secretary. We lived in Kansas City, Missouri. And the Lord placed a call in our lives. Isn't it neat how God calls us to things, calls us to step out of the way we live or things we're doing, things he wants us to do for him? Isn't it interesting and a wonderful thing? It is. It's exciting. And so we have found that as missionaries, with our background as in the police, my wife is a secretary, God totally prepared us for our new adventure as disciples, as those being sent out, sharing the greatest message that you could ever share. The message of Jesus Christ, that he loves us and he died for us. Amen? Amen? That we might have eternal life. And I like the fact of eternal, I like having eternal life. I like being in Jesus, loving Jesus. Think about this very quickly. Do you remember the day when you didn't know Christ as your personal Savior? Maybe there are some here this morning that don't know Christ, but you need to know Christ. Oh, he loves you. He loves you so much. Our story of where God has taken us, once we knew our calling was to Colombia, the Lord had so equipped us, prepared us to minister to the police. That is our focus. We are in Colombia. We took our two daughters, Jasmine and Asia, that's their names. They were just young teenagers when we got there. And so we got there and our focus, our plan that the Lord laid on our hearts was to minister to the police and their families. This was our mission field, right? This was our focus all along, knowing that the Lord will use this ministry to reach the people in Colombia. Well, when we got there, we got things settled and it took a little time to get connected. Sometimes, folks, remember this, sometimes ministry is work, yes? Yeah, ministry is work. And there's a cost to ministry, but it's okay because the Lord takes care of that cost. But he connected us as we were praying every day. You know, if you want to succeed in something, what do, folks? Yes, you pray. If you want to succeed, this church and succeeding, continuing its legacy, its tradition, and reaching the lost, if you want this to take place, you've got to bathe everything that you do in prayer. I'm not talking about like a two-minute prayer, one of those, you know, in-and-out things, you know? I mean, I know we're kind of fast food people nowadays, but when it comes to prayer, time with the Lord, it's serious business. Amen? And we realized that if we were going to minister to the police and their families, we had to bathe our ministry in prayer. That became the foundation of our ministry. And you know, as we prayed, the Lord connected us with the right people. We started, it's interesting because almost like overnight, all of a sudden we became English teachers. Yeah. I'll tell you, it's an interesting thing because we're thinking, we're not teachers. You know, we're not school teachers. We're not trained in teaching English. But I'll tell you something. Even though there was fear, we were kind of frightened. But we realized that this was a need that they had. And you know something, brothers and sisters, just like around the world, there's a need. Is there not? There's a void in the world today. The world does not know the truth, but they need to know the truth. And the need is, that's their need. And you, if you know the truth, then you can fit or fill that need with the love of Jesus. Amen? Your testimony, as we have learned, and you're going to hear in a few moments some stories. I'm going to take you to a video. But your testimony, what Christ has done for you, is powerful. Amen. It's powerful. What you have to say, what God's done in your life, what He set you free from, it's powerful. Young people, listen to this. What the Lord is doing in your life, let Him continue it. Let him continue that work in your life. It will be your testimony to reach your generation. It will be your testimony. We started teaching English. We were scared. Almost overnight, this happened. We saw the need. God prepared us. We started teaching English. And I remember as we're teaching English, we were teaching on government property. This is the interesting thing. We're providing this need. And people in there were starting to learn. As we would open up the classrooms, I'd say, we're going to pray. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit in. Now, here you go. Here's the work. The power of the Holy Spirit. Remember when Christ told us, hey, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you something greater. The Comforter. Amen? So here we are in our classrooms. We open in prayer. We invite the Holy Spirit in on government property. And next thing you know, our students are learning. And the short end of the story goes, as we provide all of our training, we share Jesus. Nobody ever told me we couldn't. So I thought, we're going to take our liberties because our ministry is about sharing Jesus. We want to see people come to know Christ. This is the continuance of Christ's death and His resurrection, that all would know Jesus Christ and be saved. So here we are, taking our liberties, and next thing you know, we're finding is that we offered the opportunity for people to get saved at the end of our classroom, 3 months long. And at the end of this time, as we rub elbows together, we share our testimonies, we share the Scripture, next thing you know, we find that they stand up because they want Christ in their lives. Hallelujah! On government property, men and women in uniform, learning English, hearing about Jesus, starting from Genesis and kind of working our way through and hearing about how Jesus loves them. And next thing you know, they stand up one by one and they pray a prayer of salvation. Hallelujah! They started getting saved. And I'm thinking, Lord, this is exciting. When people get saved, it's exciting, yeah? It's exciting when your friends and your loved ones come to know Christ because they were once dead men walking. They were dead men. We were dead men walking. Do you know, in the prison system many years ago, they stopped doing this, but many years ago, as a man or woman was on death row, when they made their way to be executed, people would stand back and yell out, "Dead man walking." Today, you remember when you were a dead man walking. These officers that we are ministering to, they were dead men walking, but now they're alive in Jesus. They have eternal life, and this continues. This carries out through them to others, and they get saved. I'm going to take you to a quick video. I want to show you what has been taking place. I'm going to share some more stories, but let's go ahead, sister, and we'll roll it.
The greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord, yeah. Brothers and sisters, when you share the message of Jesus in your own way, when you use the voice God's given you and the testimony the Lord's given you, when you share Jesus, people will listen. Don't be deceived by the things that you hear where people say, oh, but your friend will walk away from you. Oh, you're going to offend him or her. Or these types of things that we often hear, we feel. Don't be deceived by that. Because these people here that God has given us a ministry to, we have found out as we share in the various needs that they have, as we pray and say, Lord, how do we fill that need? God gives us new ways to meet that need. And as we do, we find out in short order, they receive Christ into their lives. It's that simple. It's just a matter of sharing Jesus Christ with people. In our classrooms, our textbook became this, the Bible. God is so clever, right? You know, he's so creative, right? He created us, so he's got to be creative, right? So the deal is, as we're teaching English, one day I was saying, Lord, I need a textbook. And the Lord spoke to me and said, here's your textbook right here. And I'm thinking, no, I need a textbook. And then it dawned on me, what textbook is better than this in teaching English? We use these Bibles that are bilingual. There's one out in the foyer there. And it's bilingual, so as we're going through the classroom teaching, they were able to read in English, trying to learn, but they could peer over to the right column and see the Spanish language. So they're receiving, our text was teaching them about Jesus, huh? Teaching them how to read, but they're also taking in the love of Christ because that's the Word of God, and it's alive, amen? This was taking place, and we were so excited, but one day we were praying and realized, Lord, there are other needs. And this is the deal, brothers and sisters. There are people all around you, in your workplace, around your home, wherever you go, there, school. There are people that are lost, and they are dying. And I told you before, that's serious. It's serious business. And you have the message. The love of Christ should be flowing out of you. And all we have to do is pray and say, Lord, give me an opportunity. Show me the need. Show me the need so I can share this love that you have for me and for others. Before you know it, you're going to be sharing Christ. Before you know it, you're going to see one soul saved, then there's two, it starts multiplying. Brothers and sisters, before you know it, as you share Christ, and they, you know, maybe you even invite them to church, right? Because this is an exciting place. And they start coming to church, it starts to multiply. Before you know it, this church is packed, and you're saying, hey, pastor, we need another service. And he says, yes, we do. And before you know it, it's like, hey, pastor, we need another building. Hey, yeah, I think we do. This is the type of thing that takes place. In our ministry in Colombia, we were praying. We said, Lord, they have other needs. We saw that they were lacking a lot of training. Police officers without training, like first aid training, without tactical training. So you probably saw up there and said, tactical evangelism. I thought this was really clever, but it really is not me. But I thought it was smart. But tactical evangelism was basically providing police training for the officers. So we provided this tactical training. People thought we were weird, like, you're going to what? Well, we used the training as a bridge, right? We brought a police teams, Christian officers, to come to Colombia, share the training, and at the same time share what? What's the most powerful thing you got in your life? Your what? Your testimony, your story. Amen. You got a story. Everybody. Some people say, I don't have a story. Yes, you do. If Jesus saved you, if you love Jesus, you're serving him, you got a story. And you need to tell it. It's that simple. Tell your story. Well, that's what happened. We provide this training. A whole week long, we're providing this training. You saw it on the field. And as we're providing the training, the officers are sharing Christ, their testimony, right? We're sharing little bits of information about the Bible in Romans, how God gave or ordained the authorities to be in the land, so they never realize this, that being a part of government, that they were ordained to provide this type of leadership and safety for us, because if there was not government or officers, this world would be in great chaos because of sin. So as we began to share all these things, they received it. And next thing you know, as we offered them the opportunity to receive Christ, there were like some 60-odd officers out there, and they received Christ into their heart. It's exciting when men and women, children, receive Jesus in their lives. Amen?
And this is something, brothers and sisters, we need to become very excited about, emotional about, passionate about, filled with love for people, filled with love for your friends, because if you don't share Jesus, they will die in their sin.
Our ministry, as we were sharing, it just began to grow. The Lord would open up opportunity after opportunity, and we'd see soul after soul won for Jesus. Let me tell you some interesting stories real quick. We had on government property, everything we've been doing pretty much has been on government property except for some Bible study in our home. But it's interesting because, you know, on government property, we usually think, you can't talk about Jesus on government property, right? That's what we say here in the United States. You can't talk about him in school, you can't, at workplace or wherever. We kind of walk around kind of keeping our salvation to ourselves, right? I tell people it's kind of like we're trying to save our own skin. We're not to live that way. Christ didn't live that way. He didn't send his disciples out that way, right? And he didn't send you out that way. So, as we've been sharing Jesus there on this football field, men and women, government property, raising their hands, crying. Yeah, hallelujah. Because when I see these men and women that I so connect with, that God's given me a love for, I love the nation of Colombia, but I see that the Lord's given us a love for the police, and we believe that as we reach the police can reach their own in various parts where they're sent. But when I see a man or woman or a child receive Christ in their lives, this is everything. This is everything, isn't it? When you receive Christ in your lives, it's exciting. I get so excited. I'm passionate about it because they need to know Jesus. The world is lost without him. So, we see these men and women receive Christ, and we give them Bibles. Everything we do, we give them a Bible. You can't beat this book, can you? God's Word, you cannot beat. This is the best gift you could ever give anyone. Never feel apologetic about giving a Bible to someone like, well, this is all I got. This is everything. This is everything. It contains life. Eternal life. It's God's Word. Well, as I kind of wrap this up and bring it to a close here, we had this situation, another need. We're praying, Lord, where are some other needs? We realized that they needed this training in providing first aid. Something simple as first aid, and the police officers there really didn't have that kind of training. So we're praying, how do we do this, Lord? How do we reach them through this need? Well, we wound up finding a team, Springfield, Missouri, our headquarters, the Assembly of God headquarters. They sent us a healthcare ministries team, two men and one lady. And they came, I mean, empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were ready. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, came with the right material. We met on government property in a place that is very difficult to secure as a venue to share. It's a place where usually government officials only meet. But we were able to secure this place and provide this training in 1 week. 1 week of just rubbing elbows and being straightforward with people. Loving them. Did you hear that? Loving them. Brothers and sisters, if you love people, maybe you say, well, I'm not the kind of guy. I'm not the kind of person. I'm kind of a standoffish person. I don't really work that way. I understand it. There was a time when I was a very, very shy person. Oh, man, I could not. I'd go into a room, I'd stand in a corner. That was my place. I didn't want to be seen. But you see, Christ changed my life. He transformed it. He made me a person that loves him, and I love people. I love seeing people come to know Christ. This is how we are to live. It's not frightening. It shouldn't be scary. The Lord will change you as you begin to reach out to the people that are lost. But here we are in government property. We got this place, 160-some-odd officers. And the short end of the story is, I remember there was a gentleman who stood at the door. He's like a doorkeeper. And he let everyone in and out, made sure we had all of our equipment and everything set up. He was a guy about my height. And I remember he seemed kind of insignificant. He was just kind of there, but he made sure everything was ready. Well, we had our event. Every day we provide the training, sharing our stories. Remember, testimony, sharing the testimonies of what Christ has done for us, providing the need, filling the need, all this training, and there at the end, we gave the opportunity to receive Christ. All these men and women in this place, this building, they stand to their feet. There's no pressure. We're not telling you have to do this. They stand up one by one. Here they are, standing up all over. And next thing you know, we're leading them to the cross. They're raising their hands and receiving Christ into their lives. It was exciting because the Spirit of God filled this place. It was incredible. You could feel it. And you're like, oh, Lord, look what you're doing as they're praying a prayer of salvation. And then all of a sudden, as I'm looking around, trying to pay attention to what's going on, I see this gentleman, the doorkeeper, right? This guy that seems so insignificant. He's up there too, receiving Christ into his life. And I'm thinking, what's he doing? Well, what do you think? He's receiving Christ. He's like a freebie. You know, he's an eavesdropper, but he receives Christ. He's like, hey, mister, this is only to the police. You can't receive Jesus. Of course not. Yes, you can. And he knew. He told us later, well, I kept on hearing about this Jesus, and I'm in and out listening, and he decided, I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus. Yeah, hallelujah. So he gets saved. That's what the Lord does. This is what Jesus does. All these officers, it was all over. Oh, the cool part, I forgot this. There was a lady. She's standing there in uniform, right? She's got her hands up. And I see her hands shaking. And as she's shaking, I'm thinking, oh, the Lord is really speaking to her. He's ministering to her. And as I saw her really trembling, I was like, she's going to be slain. Remember the term slain in the spirit? Some of you might be familiar with that. As I stood there, she just went down. And I remember as this happened, in my mind, I'm saying, Lord, we're in trouble.
Government property, right? Government property. And the Holy Spirit just takes a hold of her and down she goes. No catcher. She's just down on the ground. And I'm like, oh.
I ran up to the gal from Healthcare Ministries. And I said, would you go over there and just pray with her? So she did. She went over there and began to just pray with her. When it was all over, the gal got up. And she was talking to a gentleman that we were working with in this ministry. And the Lord gave him a word for her, and he said to her, God wants you to know that you are forgiven. And this was told to me later by him. He gave her this word, and they conversed a little bit longer. A couple of days later, she contacted him. And she said to him, you know I'm saved. And she said, but was there something else you meant by that? She said, I just think that there was something else. And he said, well, the Lord showed me that many years ago, you had an abortion. And he said, he wants you to know that you are forgiven. All that guilt, all that shame, all that she carried those years, she was forgiven. And she looked at him and told him, I've never told anyone about this. That happened when I was a young girl. She was in her late 30s at this time. She said, that happened when I was a young girl. And she said, I never told anyone. He said, well, the Lord wants you to know, you are forgiven.
Hallelujah! All of this in one place. This is what the Spirit of the Lord does. He sets us free. This is why he died on the cross for sins and rose again. He was on a mission, and he's working through us, through you and me, and it continues through the generations until his return.
As I close, there are lots of things I could tell you. We have this vision very quickly. When we go back, we're raising our support right now. When we go back, we have this vision. I tried to shake. I kind of tried to tell the Lord, Lord, this is too much for me, right? I said, Lord, this is too much for me, so just go ahead and take it off my plate, and then we'll just continue marching on. But the Lord would not take this vision away from me. And it stayed. And in fact, it started to grow and grow. And so I see that one day we're going to have a place, our own building in Colombia. I believe the Lord is going to give us a center. I tell people it's kind of like the USO. I know we have a gentleman in the military. I was in the Marine Corps, and I remember when I was a kid, the USO was kind of like a great place for me because besides the dancing, it was a place where I just felt I could breathe. People cared about me, would talk with me. But the Lord's given us this vision where we can have a center where not only can we bring our teams to come and stay and house them there, But it will be a center where we can provide counseling. We can provide counseling because there's the suicide rate is very high within the police ranks. Divorce, other problems, spousal battering, all of this takes place. The kids need a place where they can receive, get on the internet and do their schooling. It'd be a place where we can provide other types of teaching to the officers, leadership and ethics. A place where we can have Bible classes and teach them on our own property. I envision this place is just where the officers and their families, strictly them, can come and just feel like they're home. So this is our vision. So I invite you to be praying with us on this. In Proverbs 16:3, it says this. It says, commit your activities to the Lord. Commit. Commit your activities to the Lord, and you will succeed. They will be achieved. Whatever we do, brothers and sisters, commit our activities to Him. Amen? Give them to Him. He works through us. He gives us boldness. But we commit them to Him. So I thank you so much for supporting our ministry, walking with us, praying with us. I believe, brothers and sisters, in time, you're going to be hearing a report how we have this place, this center. And you'll be able to shout hallelujah along with us, because together we will reach a harvest of souls in Colombia, South America. Amen? Amen. The Lord bless you greatly.
Stay here. Stay here. Christy, would you join us up here just real quickly for a moment? I tell you, are you not encouraged by that word?
Amen.
See? And you know, and by your monthly faith promise and your monthly support, you know, whether it's $5 a month or however much it is, it helps us to support what is going on here. All right, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your faithfulness in giving in that regard. Let us just join together here, and let's just pray for the Robinsons here. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for Paul and Christy. I thank you, Father, how you have risen from the grave and you have revealed yourself. And Father, and because they have seen the risen Savior, Father, they have gone and preached the gospel. And so, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time that we've had to be together and to connect and to meet one another for the first time. We thank you for the stories and the testimonies of the things that you have done. But, Father, we thank you that you are not done, that you are not finished. Father, they are here for a season to get the funding that they need to go back and to continue that work. And so, Father, we thank you that you are the God of all provision. And that, Father, according to your riches and glory, you're going to provide. We ask that in every one of their services that they have planned for the next year, you're going to have favor with the pastor, you're going to have favor with the people, and Father, you're going to just move and provide in a way that's going to shock them and amaze them, because you are an amazing God. And so, Father, we even pray right now. We thank you that you are the Lord of the impossible, and Father, we live up this impossible dream of a center, and Father, and we just believe right now, and we put our faith together right now, as you put it upon their heart, that Father, you lead and guide, that you'd bring it to pass. You already have the property in mind. You already have the building in mind. You already have all the programs in mind. You have all the workers in mind. And Father, right now, we ask you just continue to prepare the way, and Father, and as you reveal step by step, Father, you give the boldness to Paul and Christy to step through it, even when it seems impossible. And we give you glory and honor and praise right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give another hand of appreciation here. I tell you what. Greatest day in history, the day that Jesus rose from the grave.
Amen.
Because Jesus died for us. Maybe you're here this morning. You know, and he talked about this coming home, you know, coming home to the, you accept Christ, it's like a homecoming. And maybe you're here today. And I want, it behooves you for me to do this. It's to your advantage that I take this moment here before we wrap it up. To give you this opportunity. Maybe you're here. Maybe you've heard this story. But you know, maybe you've heard this story, but you've never understood. Maybe today the light bulb has went on. Maybe today you've understood. Maybe today you recognize your need of a Savior. Maybe today you've understood and recognized that God has done everything in His power to save you and to redeem you and to have a relationship with you.
And the only thing that we have to do is we have to respond to the revelation of that risen Savior. So if everybody would just bow your heads and your hearts, and I would just ask right now, if you're here today and you say, Pastor Keith, I want to know this Jesus whom you've talked about, this risen Savior who's risen from the dead and has promised to forgive me of my sins and to give me everlasting life. I want to know this Jesus that Brother Paul has been sharing about and that is changing people's lives and this forgiveness and this removal of guilt and shame. And Father, and I want to know it, and I want to be able to rejoice in the way you guys have rejoiced this morning, to celebrate the way you guys have celebrated the news of this risen Savior. And if that's you this morning, there's no guilt or shame in this. If you would just look up at me and raise your hand and let me know, we'll just pray with you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. In church, would we just simply, in your own words, just, Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to die. And so, Father, I ask it right now that you would forgive me of all of my sins, that you'd come into my heart, that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that, Father, you'd make me new. And as I put my faith and confidence upon you, Lord, I thank you that I am saved and forgiven and redeemed. And I give you glory and honor and praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 To wrap it up all here, so Jesus says, because I'm standing here before you and you can see me, hear me, touch me, feel me, all the gospel has to be preached to all the world. Part of our role in that is supporting missionaries like the Robinsons who have gone to places where we can't go. And let's face it, some places we don't want to go, right? Okay. And so your faith promise giving supports that type of thing. They are there because they feel called to go. And they've obeyed that call. And so last week as we did that faith promise thing, I tell you what, I want to rejoice. Let us celebrate. We had monthly pledges. We had $1,788 pledged a month in our missions giving. Can we give God a clap of appreciation for that? Amen. So that is going to go to support all those names on those missionaries that are out there on that wall. Like I said, we have 34 ministries that we support on a monthly basis. We have 10 missionaries waiting on a waiting list, waiting to be picked up. And I thank you for your guys' faithfulness in supporting that and supporting that missions program. Angie, would you come up and help me? Where's she at? Is she still here? All right. The other thing that I want us to do here this morning is, since Jesus is standing there and says, because I have risen from the dead, the gospel has to be preached. Do you know the risen Savior? Amen. Do you know the risen Savior?
Amen.
And so the point is this, is that if you know the risen Savior, then that means that you too then have a mission. And it may not be to the nation of Colombia, it may not be to South Africa or the jungles of Asia or anything of that sort. You may not have to eat bugs. But as we said, being a missionary is not just simply crossing the sea. Being a missionary is also crossing the street. And this morning, I need you to understand that we're all missionaries. I see some of you guys have done that, and that's, I appreciate that. But I ask you guys today to wear something that affiliated with your workplace. Because that really kind of becomes your Columbia. The place where you are rubbing elbows with one another. Where you have the opportunity, because let's face it, they're not all easy to love. I tell you, you should work around here, I tell you what. I jest. But they're not all easy to love, but they need the love of Jesus, because you know what? I'm not easy to love either, but Jesus loved me anyway. And if you just allow me, if you wore something from your work, would anybody just tell me where you work? Somebody who wore something, has something, you have something from your work today. Would you just shout out, where does it you work? Anybody? Veterans Home. Chaddick. ADM? Ellington School, Menards, Napide, here, Canteen, County Market, Titan, Honda, Dean Lankin Honda, Coca-Cola, Adams School, Babysitting, Quincy Neighborhood Federation, Sunset Home. I didn't hear you. The Blue Cross Blue Shield, Quincy Medical Group, Blessing, just a cleaning. You know what, and there ain't nothing wrong. Don't just say just a cleaning lady. A self-employed, okay, I missed that. A self-employed cleaning lady. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Anybody else?
Home Depot.
Home Depot. Horizons. Classic. Classic signs. Kohl's. The hospital.
Walmart.
Anybody else? Monroe School.
Teen Reach.
Quincy Public Schools, stay-at-home mother. Do you father, a mother and a grandmother, husband and wife? Do you see your mission field? And if you have seen the risen Savior, then He commissions you. He commissions you. He commissions you to tell the good news of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit to give you boldness, not upon your own strength or power, to speak boldly the Word of God, to proclaim it fearlessly as it should be proclaimed, so that others might hear. It's not your responsibility for anybody to respond. It's just your responsibility to tell them. It's the Holy Spirit's job and responsibility to convict them and to bring them to response. It's our job simply to preach, to tell, to proclaim. So I'm going to ask Missionary Robinson if you would come back up. And I'd like every one of you just to stand. And this morning, we just want to commission you this morning upon your mission, that if you have seen and you know the risen Savior, do you hear the call? Do you hear the call and the commission? We also have the U.S. Army over here. Let's not forget that, right? And so we want to commission you this morning. So Pastor Robinson, would you just commission these individuals here of all the walks of life to the mission to reach their community?
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, this morning we have heard your word. Lord, we have heard how you have risen. Oh, that the world might know you, that we might have eternal life. Lord, that we might have hope.
Yes.
Father, you are the message.
Amen.
Oh, we thank you, and we this morning, as we have all heard, we receive it from you, and we pray for each one here. Lord, each person, we pray that you would commission, challenge them, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Challenge their hearts each morning that they awake to stand up and to serve you.
Yes.
Lord, that each one here that is moved by and filled by the Holy Spirit would reach out into wherever they are with a spirit of boldness, not of fear, but of boldness.
Hallelujah.
And share the greatest message. The greatest message ever told. Oh, that you love the world.
Amen.
That all men would be saved. Everyone would know you and be set free. Lord, I pray that you would empower them as you empowered your disciples with your Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit flow through the lives of those here today, giving them that spirit of boldness and excitement and passion, Lord. Father, I pray that they will go wherever they work, wherever they live, every place that they go, that your spirit would flow out of them and touch the lives of others. Lord, just planting seed.
Amen.
And letting your spirit do the rest. Lord, I pray your blessings of promise through the ages upon your children and what you have done on the cross, your death, and your resurrection. Oh, we thank you, Lord. So I pray that your word would challenge each one, everyone here today, Lord, to step out and begin sharing their love, your love that you've given that's for them. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask these things in your precious, your most holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.